On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Monday to you. This is a late podcast for Monday afternoon, but I got my man Marcus Hayes and Mike Silski. I was about to say Mark Narducci in the building, so that's why I had to pause, y'all. So sorry, but today, y'all, we want to talk about yesterday's transactions. And what we're going to, for the first one, we're going to talk about Jimmy Butler going to Miami in a sign and trade. And then in the second segment, we're going to talk about Horford coming, talking about Al Horford coming to the Sixers. And the third segment is going to be Tobias staying, getting the bag, getting a five-year, $180 million contract to stay with the Sixers. So I want to open it up with Mike Silski in the first segment, just talking about Jimmy Butler going.
Yeah, I don't think this is all that surprising, given that the concern from the time the Sixers traded for Jimmy Butler, even if you liked the trade and thought that they needed another star or two to really make a run last year, the concern always was, and you were saying it, you know, and writing it, we were saying it and writing it, is this is all fine and good until Jimmy, the time comes to get for Jimmy to get paid. And then, A, what does he want to do? And B, the team that pays him, are what kind of risk are they taking in bringing him on? You know, there was all this question of, because he tends to be combative with teammates and coaches. He had the history in, you know, Minnesota with that. You know, he wanted to be the man in Chicago, couldn't be the man in Chicago, wasn't going to be the man here, not with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons here. So I'm not surprised that he's not back. You know, he played very well for them in the playoffs last year, but, you know, 5 years would have been 5 years to a guy who's, what, 29. It would have been a tough go, I think.
And what's your thoughts, Marcus?
Well, Jimmy's going to be 30 when the season starts, which means you're paying a 30, 31, 32, 33, and 34-year-old $180, $190 million over 5 years. And it's not that Jimmy was particularly insubordinate while he was here. He was a little bit insubordinate if you read his lips and understood where he was coming from. It was that when he's guaranteed 5 years and $190 million, how is he going to act then when his money is guaranteed and, you know, the coach isn't, neither is the general manager? Does he become a bully at that point, as he became a bully other places? So that said, also, you know, Jimmy's averaged 66 games a year for the last 6 years. Jimmy's he's a high maintenance person, a high maintenance player, and high return, high talent. But is he, you know, one of the 20 best players in the league? Probably not. Is he one of the 50 best players in the league? Yeah. But does one of the 50 best players in the league deserve, you know, 5 and 190? Probably not. But when the Sixers acquired him, both the Sixers and Jimmy Butler said, you know, this is going to be a courtship. This is going to be a trial period. Unlike when they acquired Andrew Bynum years ago and Josh Harris, the Sixers' managing partner, said, I'd sign him to an extension tomorrow. They didn't say that with Jimmy Butler. There was no mystery that both sides wanted to make sure that this would work. I'm not sure Jimmy Butler got along great with the coach, at least not at first, Brett Brown. And I'm not sure he got along great with the point guard, Ben Simmons, at all. So, you know, you don't have to be kumbaya in the locker room, but you can't be, you know, passively aggressive and dismissive. There has to be some sort of chemistry. There was decent chemistry, but with personalities like Ben Simmons, who wants to be Magic Johnson or LeBron James, and personalities like Joel Embiid, who kind of wants to be Shaquille O'Neal or Charles Barkley, Jimmy Butler didn't quite fit in the way that, say, Al Horford does.
Yeah, and what I'll say is I think that the Sixers are trying to be nice, and they don't want to say anything negative about Jimmy. I think that, you know, typically whenever you hear teams say, we're going to do everything in our best interest, no, we're going to do everything possible to keep someone – They never came out and said, hey, we're going to give them the 5-year max to keep them. They said, we're going to do everything possible. So what that tells me is they come out and they give you a number. They know you're not going to like the number, but they're putting the onus on you and basically saying, hey, the reason why he left is because he wanted to leave. And the fact that Miami and Houston were there, they were the two teams that really didn't have the cap space, but they were teams that he wanted to go to because possibly he probably didn't. Now, I heard he had around six teams, offers, right? But I don't know if he had the offers that he thought he would have had just because of his history. But I feel like the way they did it this way, it saves Jimmy the embarrassment of saying, hey, they didn't offer me the max. And also the Sixers don't look like a team that said to admit to say, hey, it was a failed experiment. Again, Jimmy Butler on the court was a great basketball player. He was the closer that they needed. But to me, if they really wanted him to stay, they wouldn't have done a sign and trade with a team that, you know, with the Miami Heat. You just wouldn't do it.
But I mean, I don't know that it's a failed experiment. I mean, I believe that him being here helped the maturation of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I think that him being here helped the team get better and learn better, like how to win and how to win late. And I think him being here, you know, it's not as though Jimmy walked. Jimmy was traded for a player who's going to start in Josh Richardson, who is a good player. He's not Jimmy, but he's a good player. He's an ascending player, and he's a cheap player.
Yeah, but I also think – I get what you're saying, but all I'm saying is I think that the way that it went down, it makes it allude to – I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm getting the impression that it's like this: the Sixers were trying to be nice. That's what I'm saying. They were just trying to be nice.
It wasn't a successful experiment, means they're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Jimmy's played great. He's been a good soldier, and they signed him to a 5-year max. That's a successful experiment.
I just think they didn't want him back.
But I don't know if it's a total failure.
Yeah, we're not a failure, but I just think they didn't want him back. But until we get, like, just so we won't run out of time, I know you guys have time and everything, let's talk about, after we get back from this commercial break, let's just talk about the second seven, Horford coming. All right, y'all. So Al Horford, you know, Al Horford is about to, you know, Al Horford is about to join the Sixers. And, you know, when it was one of those things, you know, I remember about a month ago I was talking to a guy and we were talking about great fits for the Sixers. And we started talking about Al Horford. And then he was like, man, he's under contract. He's not going to turn down that $30 million. I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? He's under contract. And then it got to a point where once he turned it down, and I started thinking, like, you know what? He would be a great fit for the Sixers. And the reason why I'm saying that is because he looks like a guy to be that quote-unquote backup center but a starting stretch four, so to speak, that the Sixers so desperately needed. Like, you look at him and you look at Dario Saric, he could be a huge upgrade in Dario. Now, again, I know he's 33 years old. He's going to be old when that contract, the 4 years, are over. And 37, old, that's not old, but in basketball terms it is. But I just look at him, and I look at him as a security blanket for the Sixers. Because we all know that Joel Embiid is going to miss some games. I mean, nothing against him, but he just has yet to play a full season. So to me personally, I feel like it's a great pickup.
Well, I'll say that two things. Number one, to your point, Keith, I do think there is an adult in the room element to bringing Horford in, which, as Marcus pointed out, Jimmy was a little bit of that last season, but because he can be so abrasive, you know, he may not be as effective in filling that role as Horford will be. And then the other aspect of it too is that, yeah, he's 33, but they've laid down the marker as we view this as our window. We're going to try to win now. And you know what? Older guys win in the NBA. Like, it's rare to find a team that, like, to have had the Sixers reach the finals last year. Suppose Kawhi's shot doesn't go in. Suppose they advance and happen to beat the Bucks. Like, that would have been an outlier in terms of the amount of experience that overall team had relative to other teams that generally get to the finals. You know, there's a reason that when LeBron got to Cleveland, he wanted to surround himself with veteran role-playing kind of guys when they would change their roster. He didn't change their roster to get younger. He changed it to get older and more experienced. Mm-hmm. And I think some of that applies to the Sixers here. Yeah, they're young with Embiid. Yeah, they're young with Ben Simmons. Yeah, you've got guys who are going to come off the bench, whether it's Zaire Smith or recent draft picks, Jonah Bolin, guys like that. But the core of this team now has a measure of experience and, I guess, kind of wisdom in Horford that they didn't really have before, and I think that's an important element.
One of the interesting elements, one of the dynamics that Horford brings, he's more than an adult in the room. He's a template for them to follow. I mean, think about the Celtics team that he was on the last couple of years with Tatum, who's a rookie, you know, Brown is a, mm-hmm. Sort of a disappointing, enigmatic, other wing who plays the same position as Tatum, Marcus Smart,
yeah.
Marcus Morris, Kyrie Irving, it's just, and a very young coach. What the stability he brought to that team, and I was around that team a lot last season and the season before. I went to a lot of the Celtics events, especially when the Sixers played him in the playoffs. He was by far the most stable, not person just in that locker room, but by far the most stable person in the series, counting the coaches and the general managers. He's a different kind of dude, and he's exactly what the Sixers need. Not to tell Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid how to act and what to do, which we expected Jimmy to do as a sheriff, but to show them how to act, show them how to be professional, show them how to grow their games once they got to be 30. That's the kind of stuff that true professionals do, and that's the kind of stuff that Al Horford was paid $109 million max to do.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting from there's two ways to look at it, obviously. I mean, there's all those things, which I agree with Marcus completely about. And then there's the analytic, strategic, how does he fit? How much better do they get defensively? How much do they lose, without J.J. Redick there in terms of shooting the ball? How fast are they going to be? Are they going to struggle against teams that can push the ball? It's just really interesting. It's just really interesting.
Yeah, very, very. I mean, we'll see a lot. And after this commercial break, we'll talk about the third segment, which is Tobias Stain. All right, Marcus, so what's your thoughts on Tobias Harris Stain?
He's got to become a better defender, and he has to become a more integrated part of the half-court offense. One of the things that I was disappointed in Brett Brown in the postseason, I thought Tobias was underutilized in being a primary offensive option, mm-hmm. especially against the Raptors. So I think that's his value. I believe he's better one-on-one. I believe he's better off the dribble than he's given credit for. Jimmy's not bad, and Jimmy's the closer. That's all well and good. But I wanted to see Tobias Harris have more opportunities. One of the interesting things about Brett Brown is nobody comes to Philadelphia and becomes a worse defensive player. Everybody gets better. I mean, Robert Covington came to Philadelphia as a shooter from the D-League, and now he's an all-defensive player perennially.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's going to happen with Tobias Harris. I don't know that he's wired that way. But he'll be a better defender at the end of a full season with Brett Brown and his coaching staff. And does that make him worth 5 years and 180? No. But the economics being what they are and the Sixers' options being what they are, they didn't really have a choice but to extend him to the degree that they could afford. And it's not 190, it's 180. That $10 million over, 5 years – That gives them a little bit of flexibility. Excuse me. It gives them a little flexibility mid-season and in the off-season to make changes. It gives them a little bit of room to wiggle.
Yeah, I agree.
He's gotten better every year that he's been in the NBA. You know as well as anybody, Keith, that he's a quality person. You spent a lot of time with him. You know him and his family. If you're going to bet on a guy who you think can get better over the course of a max contract, Tobias Harris is the kind of guy you bet on. I think defensively, is he a great defensive player? No. But he was on the floor a lot last season, you know, when they were all on the floor together, which wasn't very much. He and J.J. Redick, neither of them is a particularly good defensive player. Well, in theory, as a whole, they are a better defensive team with Redick out and Al Horford in, and presumably with some of the young guys.
Richardson, too.
You know, Richardson as well. Young, you know, Zaire Smith, who can play on the wing. You know, guys like that. So will he get better as a shooter over a full season? I was a big advocate of their maintaining as much continuity as they could. And one of the reasons for that is I think Harris would benefit from that. Just being on the floor more with Embiid and Simmons and whoever else they were bringing back. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing too is that, and it's the thing we haven't talked about, is that one of the things that Tobias Harris would benefit hugely from would be Ben Simmons being able to take and make a 15-foot jump shot. I think the entire team would benefit from that. The acquisitions are great, but boy, if Simmons comes back with the same limitations in his game that he's had the last 2 years, that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, it is. It is. We'll talk about that in a little bit more in the next podcast. But in regards to Tobias, covering a team last year, I remember there was a stretch when Embiid didn't play and they were on the road. And it was weird because you saw the guys jumped on Tobias's back. Mm-hmm. And he went to OKC and won the game for him. And then before that, he had a solid game. And then it got to a point where, you know, Tobias was starting to get the headlines and starting to become the man. And I remember it was an afternoon national TV game against Milwaukee, 2 o'clock game. And Tobias was wide open on several stretches, clapping, give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball. People would look off of him and try to get their own. And it got to a point where this is when I really started to get respect for him, because I kept asking questions. Yo, man, like, what's going on? And he was like, hey, look, if that's how you feel about it, that's how you feel about it. I'm just trying to win. You knew anybody in their right mind was a little frustrated because he didn't get the ball. But he took the leadership way and was like, I'm not voicing my frustration here. I'm gonna be a team leader. But also that showed me that he's a good locker room guy. Secondly, the thing was it showed me that a lot of times when he got criticized for getting 5 shots, 7 shots, not doing this, it wasn't him. He wasn't getting control of it. It was other guys trying to play me ball. Now, there were some games that he had where he had off shooting nights. People are going to have that. Yeah, it was a huge one. People are going to have that. But at the same time, I'm under the belief that, you know, this guy, like Mike said, that, you know, he's 26 years old. He's gotten better each year that he's played. There's another factor that, you know, when he was in Los Angeles before he came here, they put the ball in his hands and he had a career year. I mean, it could be argued if he was in the Eastern Conference, he would have been an all-star. So those are the things that really impressed me. But right now, we're running out of time, but I want to thank y'all for doing this podcast, and I want to thank y'all for listening. Peace.